No, I'm kidding, man. It's good to talk to you again, Arrow. How you been since last we seen each other in Ohio?
Oh, I'm doing well, man. Just doing all the same stuff still, just peers and people and having fun.
Putting
How's
holes in
this?
people.
Yeah,
You
pretty much.
mind giving us an introduction of who Arrow is, where you work, and what do you do?
I'm Arrow. I am a body piercer in Bowling Green, Ohio, at the Sanctuary Art Studio. I've been piercing for like 15 years, and it's just one of those passions that I've had since a young age.
And is Arrow your Christian name? Is that what we call it?
So Arrow is my middle name.
Okay, yeah. So they were planning on you being a piercer, or at least a Dungeons and Dragons, like speaker. What the lead? You know, they
Dungeon
wanted
Master.
audio, video. Yeah, they had a plan for you somewhere, it seems.
Oh yeah, definitely. My first name's actually Halen, so like Van Halen. So I just was
Nice.
destined for greatness, I guess.
Right on. And how are we achieving that greatness?
I've been doing a lot of guest spots piercing, trying to help spread like safer piercing practices, and I feel like that's going to be my like gift in life is just to like teach other people and help bring awareness of things to other piercers that may not have like the mentorship or anything like that just available to them. So like teaching is kind of my legacy, I guess.
Really? Have you taken on apprentice yet then?
Yes, so I do have one apprentice. Her name's Ellie. She's
Right on. On
amazing.
behalf of the industry, I think I'm supposed to say shame on you, but also thank you.
Yeah, she's I think she's gonna bring a lot to the industry and help because she wants to do a lot of the same stuff and start teaching other people how to do like more of the like social media stuff and like help bring us old school people like into the newer age.
Well, explain that. So here, now we're at a conflict. Okay. I come up from an old timer kind of position, and I was also at that time when people started sharing more. You know, I was right at the birth of social medias, and prior than that, to that we had just the magazines, pretty much, and the old timers would, you know, shame us on a regular basis, it seems. I don't know if that's right, but we would be scolded for apprenticeships when we would do them, and then we would be scolded later on in life, I guess, for not doing apprenticeships, because how else is someone going to learn? And then the old timers are getting mad when everybody's learning from YouTube, and you're like, well, we weren't supposed to teach anybody, right? And like, yeah, well, now they're learning. You're like, yeah, it's the same way I learned, actually. You know, I had enough people tell me I couldn't, and then I was like, I bet I can. Now, when it comes to your own observation, you've been tattooing since when was it? 2000 and when?
2009, 2010, I did
Okay.
start off tattooing. I got away from the tattooing just because I feel like it's not my passion to tattoo. It's my passion to pierce. And like, so like back in that time where like the early 2000s, the later like 2010 area, you were still in that mindset of when you did an apprenticeship, you didn't just learn how to tattoo, you learned how to pierce too, or vice versa.
Okay, yeah. Is one of the first things you usually learn, because they were happy to die experience. Because you're like, you know, if the kid messes up a couple of earlobes, I can fix that easy, you know? But if he messes up a tattoo, I'm more screwed.
Right. And the thing about that is even like with how far piercing has come now, we're seeing more of that like mentality, oh yeah, we could pick up like fix that screw up, not realizing that like there's a lot more to a piercing than most people
Yeah, to be
initially
honest,
understand.
you really can't fix a screw up so much, because that screw up is always there. You might pierce around it, you might do something else, but there's scar tissue. There was an entry and exit hole, and it was in the wrong place. Or am I wrong there?
No, you're absolutely right. And not only that, but it can also just be like crooked or not sitting right, which could cause migration, which can cause more scarring, which could cause just a number of different things that can
Well,
just
we're here in the States. We're not big fans of
make.
migration.
Right.
Tell those illegals to get back to where I'm just fucking. I can't help it. It's a broken screw in me. But I was interested because of two things, I guess. One, you really like Sean O'Hare. He's a friend of mine. I think he's a cool guy. I like that he does a performance end of piercing. And I've experienced, I didn't even know, like, I guess I wouldn't have known to call it performance art, right? But it is. Like, it's on the level. I've experienced some piercings, or not myself, but watching people pierce themselves on stage. And you're like, you can't argue. That's art. What they are
Absolutely.
doing is art. Marlo, she used to do a routine where she would pierce herself on stage right through her rib cage. And oh, I can't remember the girl that's going around now with Villain Arts, but she is also piercing like through the bottom. Anyways, those are the crazy things, right? But one time we go out to a dinner and Marlo is also working the dinner. And she's doing the performance. We're just eating around a bunch of fancy dancy people. And this was their entertainment. Like they were stepping out, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
What I've seen from you is you did it on stage once, and that reminded me of a kid I used to, well, still love the guy, Rob Hill, who was a piercer, and he would make a performance out of his pieces, oftentimes just piercing somebody for that moment. They might only have that piercing in a ribbon or something like that. Oftentimes he would pierce two girls together, and then, you know, they're like that for an hour or so, and you undo them.
Yeah, absolutely. That performance you were talking about that I did was a few corset piercings over the course of a few days at one of the conventions up in Michigan. That was a lot of fun.
We
And
don't
that
see those
was,
much anymore.
yeah, and I was trying to bring some of that back, some more of
Okay.
that like play piercing style of thing. So place we call them play piercings because they're not permanent. They're not something that's like a viable thing that's going to last a long time. You know what I mean? They're prone to rejection. They're prone to like too much extra stuff, so it's more just like a show piece. And I think those do really cool action inventions because like it gets you out of that like, oh, that's a lip piercing, that's cool, or that's a nose piercing, that's cool. But this is like, oh, you don't see that every day. And not only that, but a lot of people don't see like the demonstration of it.
And you were giving the demonstration. You were on stage doing these piercings.
Yes, and I also have to give a shout out to Malibu. He was there doing it with me as well, so
Right
he
on.
was
Malibu works with Sean O'Hare as well at what is it, Body Temple? What is it?
The Church of Suspension and
Church of
No
Suspension.
Gimmicks Needed Suspension.
Well, that's still kind of a gimmick. Okay, none needed, but I see him using it. Don't lie to me. I seen someone up there in a Pegasus hat. That's not a gimmick. Come on. I watched the Skittles commercial. I know what qualifies.
Right.
Moving on. Yeah, so are you interested in developing more of that, I guess? There's a whole world of these performance artists, and I know this because there's a whole world of artists on Instagram that they'll photo or film themselves doing a painting or something that might be considered a normal art, and then they will have it as though they're looking over their shoulder at somebody that's doing some crazy performance art. And I don't know, they'll make a comment doing art in 2024. But what I see is like, I'm always more interested. I think it's a failed Instagram plan. Have you seen these kind that I'm actually talking about? Maybe I'm
Yeah.
okay. So I feel like I'm every time I watch one of these, I'm way more interested in the performance aspects.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest self-expression is that the act of doing it because it shows that the artistic side of it, the emotion behind it, and the fact that this is still a person doing this and it's not just like this robotic thing. It's there's a lot more that goes into it than just basic stuff, you know?
And in the best of them, I'm guessing that it's only now. I mean, we're filming them and stuff, but it's only now that this is occurring. Any other performances will be different. And I don't know. Am I wrong?
No, absolutely. And then, so just to touch base on like the suspension stuff, I love doing it. I've been suspending for 12 years, 13 years. And every time is a different experience, and like every time is just invigorating, and the show aspect of it is awesome, and the feelings that you get from the crowd, the feelings that you get for yourself, it's just it's always going to be different because nobody's going to be it. Each circumstance is going to be different.
I follow. I think, and it's something that makes me want to ask. So, Shanghai Kate, never a fan of suspensions. She felt it was a more spiritual thing and it was being shared with too many people. Do you have an opinion on that? I'm not trying to say you're right or
No,
wrong, she's
no.
right or wrong. I only mean, I'm not trying to stand in a moment of judgment. That was her
No,
opinion. And I see them and I feel like I myself, if I was to do suspension, probably want to do it by myself, maybe with just a few people, right? But
yeah.
I can see the aspect when other people are doing these things, they're turning them into performances.
Yeah, so the thing about spirituality is it could be taken in differently by different people. So yes, it could be that very solitary thing where it's super spiritual just for you. But also, like, if you think back to like spiritualistic rituals back in the day, like a lot of the times it'd be in a group of people. So like it could be on either end of that spectrum, and not one person's right or wrong about it. Anybody could experience it in a different way, whether it's with a group of people or by yourself or like whatever, you know?
I do. There's a village, and I won't even actually know. I was going to try and attempt the name. I won't even try. But I'm listening to one of my favorite podcasts, Hidden Brain Podcast. Fucking awesome podcast. And in there, this guy is describing different rituals as he is a study. He studies rituals as an anthropologist. One of these rituals that he got to observe was this whole village every year walk the whole fucking village walk on hot coals. Like they burn glass down in the pit and stuff, and you're like, oh, damn, that's hot. And all these MFers, everybody walks on it, right? And so he was just there to film it, and they're like, hey, you're gonna do it, right? And he's like, yeah, I ain't gonna do it. And they're like, yeah, you're gonna do it. And like, a big honor to even be asked because you're not a member, you know? But he had stayed with him long enough and he wanted to do it. But as I think about this, that's a ritual, that's a spiritual ritual. And it's actually better. They eventually include him. They force him off of sorts, you know. They not that he could have said no. The oldest man in the village grabbed him up and was like, hey, you're going with me. And he jumped on his back and he had to carry the guy across the coals. At any rate, all that whole village is experiencing this spiritual thing, which does make me think different, I guess, on the thought of that spirituality. It can be shared. And perhaps, maybe, I mean, some could argue it's possibly better to be shared.
And that's ultimately up to the individuals that are participating in it. In the ritual, you know?
I'm with it, yeah. Because if you went to Sunday school, you hide it under a bushel? No, you gotta let it shine. Your freak
Right.
flag, if that's what it is, then let it. I find as I get older, a lot in life gets to be more about community. I don't know if that's right or wrong. I hope I'm not wrong. But there seems to be a lot of things that distract from community or from building community. And if anything builds community, spirituality is going to be one of those things. Shared ritual is going to give you that spirituality or even be one of those things that builds community. Then I'm going to dare say it's probably for a positive.
I'd have to agree with that, especially due to the fact that, hey, we're all animals, and as human beings, we are a pack animal. We're a community animal. Like, there's throughout history, we've always created tribes. We're not solitary animals. We group up in sections and packs, and that's why we have cities and towns.
Yeah.
So
There's
realistically,
some.
like, that's what we want to be, is around other people. But I do feel like the technology age kind of gets us away from that a little bit too much.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing. I mean, I'm using a social media platform, but I'm also that allows me to broadcast my own thoughts and feelings and hear a wide variety, a larger variety than I could if I was just in the village town square yelling my opinions, right?
Yeah.
However, it seems to have a insulative response. Instead of building community of sorts, in a lot of cases, it seems to actually tear those down. Unless you listen to Zuckerberg on Congress, then you're quite sure you're like, oh yeah, this is the safe haven. This bastion of decency where everybody has the best political discussions.
So I think the biggest thing is the anonymity of not having an actual physical presence or a physical face to the name when being online, creates more of that rift between the actual community, and because people could say whatever they want and it doesn't actually get back to them. because it's not
Okay.
real.
And yeah, because there's a now is I if I'm understanding you, then you're saying as a lack of authenticity of sorts, nothing can really stick. You know, if you're yelling at somebody, you're yelling at their avatar. If you're agreeing with somebody, you're just agreeing with their avatar at best again.
Right, it's nothing's at face value, really. Does it have the potential to bring people from around the world together and make a community from people from all over? Absolutely, and it does work in some cases, and it doesn't work in some cases. So really, just it you got to take the good with the bad.
So this person that you're teaching is also teaching you and how to navigate this and try to make better outcomes, I'm guessing.
Yes, absolutely, and she's amazing at what she does. She understands like the algorithms and the I honestly don't understand all of that stuff, and I'm just like, hey, here's a cool picture of some cool shiny stuff.
Take a picture and see what it does. Right on. And then her job then is to make sure that that shining picture makes it to more faces.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is that? What's the return on that for you? Is it more awareness? Because at some point you're monetizing this teaching, or you're just doing it for public safety.
So mainly public safety, to be honest with you.
You
So
fool!
I'm not worried about that kind of stuff, to be honest
Okay.
with you. I make good money to being a piercer, and that's fine. But if I could help everybody just that I come in contact with learn a little bit more about what they're doing and make it a little bit safer for the general public, or even make the general public have a better understanding of what's getting done to them, I feel like it's going to make things a lot better, and it's going to just create more positivity towards the industry as well.
Which then you'll hoping to get a windfall of clients that are informed.
Yeah, because
The
then
worst
they're
kind
not
of
going to
implied.
go.
I used to think that's what I wanted, and now they come in all telling me way too much. They just they're you have to unteach them almost now. That's me just complaining though. I don't know that it's going to work out that way for everybody. It seems now everybody's like, yeah, I want that, and they'll start talking about an aspect that they saw on the TV show of tattooing that they don't really have a full grasp on. But now you can't convince them that they don't have a full grasp on it. You know, now you're just like
Yeah.
arguing with somebody about what will or will not look good until eventually you show them, you do the tattoo, they get it the way they wanted, and you're like, see?
Right. And that's where, like, I'm not trying to teach them like the artistic aspects, but the safety aspects and like the making sure you're taking care of things properly aspect versus like, because you're never going to be able to explain your artistic methods to somebody who doesn't think that way or have that artistic thought process.
When you say art, you mean like the aesthetic for the eye, for placement, for or for the process of doing this tattoo is an art for you too.
All of the above,
Okay.
like every aspect of the artistic side of it is not something that you could just verbalize into existence for somebody that doesn't understand that kind of art.
I think I get it because we had a running joke for a long time, and I don't know that it's ever been wrong though or disproven, but that Rob Hill, as part of his artistic process, he would always set his nuts somewhere on the person he was tattooing. It wasn't a sexual harassment thing. It was something about getting the centers of gravity together. Man, that doesn't sound right. Sounds like
No, it
I'm. There was something about it. He would have to almost be touching them. This is something we noted. It was our boss that eventually just said it's always his nuts, but that was more because he was always wearing a kilt. But he would have a portion of his body, oftentimes in his limbs, touching somewhere around their hip, I think almost. You know what I mean? Like he would climb a bit on them. But I believe that it was for his communication with them because he also tried to time his breath with theirs and then pierce on certain breaths and do the whole thing, you know, with a really calming kind of a thing. And I think that touch became a part of his process. But we were talking about keeping people safe. And that want me. I want to discuss regulations with you either. I mean, you came in when they were for Michigan, I think 2006, 2004, something like that. They were coming in. Did you guys have regulations for piercings when you came into the industry?
So regulations are always changing for sure. There was some. I actually got my start in Las Vegas, Nevada, where there's a lot more regulations than a lot of the different, most of the country actually. So like out there, you have to get what's called a body art card. So you have to go to the health department. You have to show them a tuberculosis test. You have to show them your shot records, and you have to take a 100-question test on lighting, on aftercare, on processes of tattooing and piercing. So there, it goes really in depth out there with
And
the
you've traveled,
regulations.
so you're familiar with many other states' regulations, I imagine. You find that Las Vegas stands above for what they ask their artists to do?
I feel like Southern Nevada does tend to stay pretty high. There are other states that are even higher than that, of course. I think Florida has some pretty decent regulations as well.
Yeah, but they can
I'm not as
suck
sure
a
on time.
dick. I don't know if that's true. I just got a call from them today because, and I was worried about this when it first began. They have a yearly. They don't have temporary licenses, and so they offer you a yearly license. And then what I found out today is that they charge you a late fee for not renewing it. So they called me today with a late fee that I didn't renew. I'm like, I was there for 3 days. So like that's what I was concerned about. The problem with buying a year's license, and it was relatively cheap to buy the year's license, but now I'm not making it back, and they want to charge me 25 for not setting up. But whatever. That's my so here in Michigan, the regulations are pretty scant, and when they first came in, they convinced us that that was going to help us compete because it was going to get rid of all the scratchers tattooing out of the houses, and within the first couple of years, it doubled in price each year, and I didn't see a single scratcher go out of business.
Yeah, no, that's never going to be the actual case. That's so they're always going to be around.
Yeah, the bureaucracy of I was like, so explain. So you guys have an enforcement that you're, yeah, we're going to enforce, but they just want to enforce it on the people that actually apply for the testing, or which needs to be enforced. But man, it'd be nice if it were enforced across the board, because the real problems I imagine with piercings is the same. They're coming out of the trailer parks and the kitchens and the.
Yeah, and unfortunately, even for as long as I've been in the industry, like I've heard this a million times. Well, you're just poking a hole. Not really. There's a lot more that goes into that, but
Well, why don't you explain? Because I laugh knowingly. I used to pierce, and then I got out of piercing because it is a lot more than just poking a hole.
oh yeah.
And so
It, it,
that's my understanding. Explain for those that might not understand some of the things that might go into it then.
Oh yeah, so you're working with all kinds of different tissues, whether it's like mucosal, where you're going through all of the layers of skin versus like tattooing, you're only going into that like top part of the dermis. With piercings, you could go through not only the epidermis, the dermis, the subcutaneous, the meat of behind it, and then again going through those three layers of skin as well. So you got
Yeah.
cartilage, you got like all kinds of different like types of tissues that you're working with. Some that don't bend like your earlobe is a very malleable spot. It's a very
Yeah.
easy to pierce spot. But your helix is a lot more like, let's call it crunchy. So when you go through, you kind of feel that pop. And
Okay.
everybody that's gotten like any kind of helix piercing knows that pop.
It's different than an earlobe pop.
Yeah, so it just the subtle changes in the different body parts that you're
What
piercing.
about piercing a male and he ends up having being giving milk? Is this something that could be avoided with proper understanding of the nipple?
So you're definitely not gonna wanna like dig into any kind of glands or anything like that. You're only going to be piercing the nipples. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't realize that the nipple and the areola are two different things.
Okay.
And
Because
so
I've
like
seen this, right? Where a man is end up almost lactating, like colostrum or something comes out for years sometimes from an improper nipple piercing.
Yeah, and that's going to be like caused by a number of different things, to be completely honest with you. But like the tissue is a very sensitive tissue, and that's why you want to pierce it correctly. You don't want to go super deep. You don't want to damage the breast tissue. Because let's face it, like we're going to call it breast tissue because across the board, it doesn't matter whether you're male or female. It's all just breast tissue, areola, and
Right.
nipple.
Well, certainly not once you start giving out milk.
Yeah.
Then you're just like, I don't know. Actually, so I'll admit that was me. I got my nipples pierced all kinds of crazy when I was a kid, and it ended up with all kinds of problems. I did my first nipple piercing on myself, and then that hurt. So I had a friend of mine, this girl, she did it for me, and again, and then man, so many mistakes because back then it did seem like it was just a hole. But years and years of problems as a result, until eventually I just have big eraser size nipples now. Yay.
Well,
No
and that's the
jubilee.
thing is like just like how tattooing has come a super long way over the last 20, 30 years, so has piercing. We got our start back in the day, like at the gauntlet as like fetish stuff is like even before that was the big thing with piercing is it was a fetish thing. And that's why people did it was because they're like, oh, this gets me off, you know? And it's just evolved into just more of a mainstream thing and going through the years. More things becoming more mainstream, like nose piercings or lip piercings or tongue piercings, whatever, and got away from that fetish side and became more of an aesthetic thing.
Yeah. Where do you see it at right now with I mean, it's pretty far removed, I imagine. It's still got its fetish parts, I imagine.
Oh,
But
absolutely. So some
everything we see is out in the open nowadays.
yeah, so yeah, ever since Gen X kind of became a thing, more
Oh, I
things
thought you were going to say
became.
ever since Janet.
No.
Everything's
Nope.
Janet's nipples popped out at the Super Bowl.
I mean, that probably helped a little bit, but society's maybe become more desensitized to sexuality, which is fine because, like, it's normalized people wanting to feel more themselves and explore the different aspects of the things that they like and become more that person that they want to become. You know what I mean? So it's like piercings can help you do that because
Well, in
you're
certain states, other ones where you still got to pee where we tell you. It's just,
right.
I'm kidding. Just Carolina again. But popular trends then in piercings back in my day was like the nose was where kids were getting it, or the belly button was really popular. I don't see so many belly buttons anymore. More noses. What are you
So,
piercing as a, what would you say is your standard average, and then the thing you do the most?
okay, so standard the most would be like nostril piercing, septum piercing, and lobes are going to be my bread and butter, to be 100% honest. Those are the things that I get to do the most,
Right.
which is awesome. I like doing them. I like doing all piercings. Belly buttons, I could tell you actually what happened there is
Yeah.
fashion. Fashion has changed it because nobody wants to get a belly button piercing
Because
with
no one's showing off.
high-waisted
Yeah, that
pants.
no one's showing their belly button off anymore.
That and they don't heel right because people just
Yeah.
want to put those high-waisted pants all the way up and cover that belly button, which cuts off blood flow, which causes a number of problems.
Is that a did maybe it's just me, but I believe I didn't start seeing those pants until the grab 'em by the pussy video was released. Is that a were they were these girls trying to protect themselves? Are we moving into a new sexual predator age?
I hope not. I'd rather not have more sexual predators out there. I think everybody should just be able to do their thing and be happy.
Yeah, but not if you're hiking in the woods or something, right? Man or bear? I don't know. That's
Yeah.
what I was asked recently when a. When somebody was theorizing that I may be a female or so, maybe I was theorizing that I might be a bit femme. But yeah, and then of course, yeah, bear every
Oh, yeah.
time, like man or bear, there's a myriad of things. And I don't think it's just for all the guys that get sensitive about the question when they find out that most people's answer is bear. I mean, that's my, if I had to, I'm hiking in the woods by myself. I come across a man or I come across a bear. Yeah, rather a bear. And I know people are like,
Absolutely.
you're dumb, Kyle, because of this and that. It's like, well, there's a lot of things that you can do. First off, that is where the bear lives. So if you're hiking there, to imagine you wouldn't see that, be crazy, right? To see
Absolutely.
a man that does not live in that area there, Well, what you doing out here? Burying your ex-lover? Oh God, did I just see something I'm not supposed to? I don't know what's going on. There's a myriad of things that could occur. And at least with the bear, you know, I brought some snacks. I got some beef jerky. I'm gonna throw that over my shoulder as I run.
Right. There's no ulterior motives, you know?
Yeah,
So,
just
like, a
food.
bear's a bear. It's an animal, like, that thinks, like, hey, I want food. I want my territory.
Oh shit, I didn't think about territory.
Yeah,
Yeah, you might meet up with a guy and he's not even gay. He just wants to show dominance. I don't know. Do bears have to show dominance? Now we're talking about territory. Maybe that's the same.
bears would, I know a lot about animals, actually. Bears would show dominance in their territory to establish that, hey, this is mine. You need to go.
So if you just grabbed its belt loop and maybe gave it a little bit of fellatio, would you get out of that one okay? Or
Absolutely not. I don't
okay,
recommend doing
right on. It's
that.
like I'm somebody's bitch now. That you ain't going for that one, huh? Why do you
Probably
know
not.
so much about? Well, your name's Arrow, Van Halen Arrow. That's why you know so much about animals.
I think animals have more of a pure look on life just because they're just them. They live their life and they enjoy it.
Well, they didn't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Exactly. So therefore, that's why I've just always been super interested in animals, and it's something that just always piqued my interest as kind of a hobby.
Yeah, they're going to kill you, and it's not bad.
No,
Completely
it's
normal.
there's no ill intention towards it. They're not doing it just to do it. It's either you are a threat to them or your food.
Or interesting, and they just want to play with you. Am I wrong? Like, there's also bull sharks. And I mean, sharks
Yeah.
are sharks, but fucking bull sharks, you know? They're just like, I don't know. I feel like if they had throw toys for bull sharks, they'd probably be a lot better companions. Less people would lose limbs.
Right, more of a curiosity with them. Like, what is this?
Yes. Yeah. And then well, I'll take a little nibble. I got bumped in the ocean. I don't think it was a bull shark necessarily, but I knew that it might be. We were out in Miami. Miami is the most beautiful place in the world. You can see underneath the water, this gorgeous ocean's there, and you walk down the beach and you're just watching the moon, and then you start to realize that every, I don't know, 40, 50 yards, there's a couple out there fucking. And you keep walking until eventually you look at your wife and well, we're in Rome, do as the Romans. So you go out there and you start fucking in the water a little bit. And then something bumps into your leg. And so as not to cause a panic, you say, yeah, I think we're probably done, right? And then when you get out of the water, you explain, yeah, something hit me hard enough that I thought, my foot might be on the menu. Oh, that's me talking about bull sharks. Foolish.
Right.
Arrow, your parents named you as though you were going to be in a Napoleon Dynamite film.
I mean, I could see that.
Okay, right on. Is that caused anything interesting throughout your life?
Never gained a nickname. That was never really a thing. It's just like, how do
Oh.
you give this kid a nickname when his name's Halen
Yeah,
or
that is
Arrow?
true. Oh my God. Your parents, did they have a do they lament that for you? They come up with nicknames for you at home. My dad always called me shithead.
Oh yeah, no. They don't. But I can't really go anywhere without somebody going, "Oh, that's super cool that your name is Halen." Or like try to like talk to me about Van Halen.
And are you a fan?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, right on. They're a good band. Hard not to be a fan.
Yeah, I saw them in 2010, I want to say. It was
Holy pricey ticket, Batman.
Yeah, it was actually a tip for a piercing I did. It was really cool.
Okay. Even then, it was like a $100 fare.
Yeah, it sounds right there.
Which I'm told nowadays is a small price to pay to go anywhere. Everything is $100 or more, I'm told, but
Oh man,
try not to.
absolutely. Can't even go to the grocery store and get groceries for under $100.
Thanks, Biden. Or Trump, or one of them. I don't know. Thanks, people. Thanks, inflation.
Yeah, I
Thanks,
think
Obama.
inflation would be the one.
Well, it depends. Depends on who we want to be mad at. That's why I don't even know where I stand anymore on it. Because anytime you start to have a belief, someone else is like, "Oh yeah, what are you basing that on?" And then they start to show you that it was all sand or something. And you're like, "Well, it was sand because the foundation was, you know." It's just always shifting sands. It seems to be inside of the world today. It's all shifting sands. It's this rich person's view and that rich person's view, and the people fighting in the middle. We're all just the sheep. And I know
Yeah,
they
pretty
say
much.
that a lion's not sheep is like this thing that I see in a t-shirt occasionally, and there's a few things I think on that. Number one, that it's hilarious, because it's fucking you're humans, right?
Right.
But okay, right on. Lions, right on. We're going down to a lower life form. We're going to be the lion, the most gay animal that exists. But no, that's cool. I mean, I'm not judging, but I always thought that you were. And then there's the idea that the lions as a predator, and it says not sheep. And you're like, so would that make everybody else inside of America the sheep? And you're the predator of them? We need some shepherds. That's what we're going to need. We're going to need some shepherds, not lions. How about that? But yeah, I don't know. The shifting sands that is, I'm beginning, do I get worried? Every day is worried, actually. I should stop because it's just my anxieties go off about this stuff. And then by the end of the night, I just tell myself, well, you know, it used to be worse. You know, they used to not even, you were a slave, Kyle, back in former life, you know? You didn't have no opportunity. You lived hours for the rich people that controlled your fate, and little has changed.
Nope, it's just been a little more comfortable. Well, a
Yes.
lot more comfortable.
Yes. Trading love for luxury is one of my favorite reggae songs. Has the lyric that always intrigues me, as though maybe it is. Maybe there is something there that we love would be community, and luxury are those things that give us the idea that we don't need community. If I'm comfortable enough, I really don't care how anybody else is doing. But I can't be comfortable if I'm watching somebody else suffering. I'm going to need some darkened windows. I'm going to need some shades. I'm going to need, and eventually we're watching the world through a fucking, through a tablet.
And unfortunately, that's kind of where things are going. And more people should realize that there are people suffering out there. And even doing something nice just randomly is always going to kind of help
What
move
do you
that
find
towards a better
yourself
directions.
when you're feeling bad and you want to feel better? What are you finding yourself doing? Nice.
Whether you go and pay for somebody's lunch or if there's somebody homeless out there, just invite them to lunch, man. Like, go hang
Oh
out with them.
God.
Like, hey, bring them with you. Like, hey,
What
maybe you
if
want to
that's a
go grab lunch right over
mistake?
here?
You
I
don't want to
mean,
learn that one the hard way.
life is full of mistakes,
Like, I won't be doing that again. Meet a guy in Cleveland. He was
though.
a big fan of, see, I it's not that, and I do agree with this. I'm not trying to, but I do know that you can find yourself in a funny situation sometimes. I interview this kid in Cleveland that he loved meth. Boy, did he love
Oh,
meth.
man.
And he would tell you about it. And so I'm like, this guy's awesome because, you know, I like honesty. And I've always found cocaine, like, was my thing. Like, I love cocaine. I don't do cocaine. It keeps me from going to heaven. And I don't want that because God's going to have the best cocaine. You know, I can wait.
There you
But
go.
meth is that fucking thing that, like, it's this pure demon drug. And so I'm interested. I'm like, tell me more about the meth. And yeah, he did. He was, but then I find myself in that conversation where it was during COVID. And as my interest is there, the guy is just closer and closer to me. I keep turning my head, like, yeah, I'm not trying to die right now, bruh. And he thinks I don't know. He might have think I was propositioning him. I think he thought he was going to make some money for that next bit of meth, and it might just be a salty one in the mouth. I don't know. Uncomfortable. That's what I'll say. Be careful which one of the bums you take to dinner.
Right. Well, I'm not saying like have them hop in your car or anything. It's like if there's a place nearby or something like that, like it's walking distance for them, but like, hey, meet me over here. We'll have lunch.
You pierce any anybody to help them with their esteem in that fashion too, like as a pro bono kind of some certain people.
I like to do like giveaways and stuff like that, and that kind of helps do that because unfortunately, if you just go and do everything that you do for free, then everybody's going to expect it. So you have to
Oh
kind of
yeah.
do it in a certain way, whether it's a giveaway or a charity event or
I got to
what
figure
have
you
you.
find it's good for people's confidence to have piercings, and
Yeah.
maybe there were lowered. I work on as a res I work on burn survivors as often as I can, as often as my. They're hard to find burn survivors that are interested in getting work. It's hard to really get the word out to them too, I guess. It's one reason I mention it as often as I do. But I find that that helps their confidence in this fashion that pays off for me in this happy reward. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
When
absolutely.
I tattoo Carlos, kid I tattooed from Chicago, he was burned in Mexico when he lived there. He's here now. He's a legal citizen, but he's also in a community. Like he's very fluent in Spanish. He's in a community that's pretty scared right now, but it's fun for me to see the changes as his arms that are burned are replaced with these bioorganic tattoos that kind of cover and change these things. They give him, he says it's not so much in the other people that he notices the change, but it's in him. Whereas he feels before he would hear people talking some shit and he'd just be like, yeah, whatever. And he wouldn't put his two cents in. And now he hears them talking their shit and he's like, you know what? Actually, I have an opinion. And
Yeah, absolutely.
to me, that's starting that whole thing I started with the podcast, I guess. It's bringing community and it's helping those people that aren't able to play in it. Is there do you see that that would be a possibility? And I know that you're saying pretty much that you're not doing this. I'm wondering if there were groups of people that you could see benefiting from piercings in a similar fashion.
Oh, absolutely. But we also have to like keep in mind with like say if it was a burn victim and they wanted a piercing, I'd have to make sure like the tissue would be viable for a piercing
Yeah.
too. So it really just depends.
Well,
But
a lot of burns would reject almost anything, I gotta think.
yeah, so unfortunately for that sort of a situation, it probably wouldn't pan out and it would cause more pain and uncomfort. And then I'm being counterproductive because now they're like, well, I tried that and it really didn't work for
Yeah.
me and it just made everything worse.
Right. And then they feel like there's even less options. I
Yeah, and
follow.
that's also going to take a bigger hit on their self-esteem because they're like,
Yeah.
oh, I'm trying to be pr like I'm trying to feel better about myself and this bad thing happened because it didn't work.
Well, I would suggest that for anybody listening, to consider as my friend the Enigma. You familiar with the Enigma?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the Enigma travels. He's been in the Guinness Book of World Records. His whole body's tattooed as a puzzle pieces, and he has all these different scars carved in his face. His eyes are black, and he's a unique character. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records, I believe, for being one of the most tattooed people in the world. But he convinced me that you cannot change your exterior without also changing your interior. And the more I've thought that, for some 10 or 20 years now, it feels like I've been pondering over that, and I haven't seen it wrong. In any case, I've seen, and I think that people can use the piercing and the process and the pain and all those things. They can also use the tattoo, the process and the pain and all those things as well. The concentration that it takes to do and to sit through these things as a sense of who they are and who they want to be, or a reminder of who they are and who they want to be, that might take them through different conversations and allow them to be their more authentic selves.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I
I
also
don't.
see becoming more aesthetically what you're aiming for changes that inside of you because you become more confident. You like yourself more. You experience things in a better way because you're like, hey, or like you get that nose piercing that you've been waiting for, and you walk outside and somebody goes, oh, that nose piercing looks so good on you, and that makes you feel good, and it gives you that confidence boost, and it helps you become better in life.
Why do the piercing make sense of sorts? Because you're walking around and you got it, and exactly is what we just say. However, the suspension, that is more the spiritual aspect, as we
Yes.
talked. But I imagine it comes away. I mean, after doing something like that, you come away with a feeling of this is who I am, like a test of sorts. There's a confidence boost. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. You get that confidence boost because you're like, hey, I just did this really crazy thing. And like, I came out of it. I'm fine. I'm good. I have all this adrenaline and it made me feel good because obviously dopamine is going to always make you feel good.
Okay. You feel like a Pearl Jam song. I'm still alive. Like I did that
Yeah.
and I'm still. What does it take to prepare for such a thing?
So for everybody, it's different. Me, I could just be like, hey, do you want to go suspend? Yeah, sure. Why not?
You do it right now.
Some people are just like, yeah, let me breathe and kind of chill and relax for a little bit, go grab something to eat. Which
Yeah.
I always recommend eating before doing any kind of tattoo, piercing, suspension, anything like that. It's gonna make you feel better during the process.
Has it, and that hasn't been a problem, like Cincinnati, where they got the Skyline chili. You haven't ended up wearing any of that, huh?
I won't eat skyline chili to begin with, but that's just
Okay.
personal preference. I'm
Well, you
not a
go and
big.
tell someone to go eat, and they're at the tattoo convention, and they're like, let's see, I got the choice here of the spaghetti on top of a hot dog, or,
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
but
fair.
hasn't, you haven't had anybody vomit yet.
I have definitely seen people vomit from getting procedures done. It is a risk that you have to take.
Right on.
With doing anything, and that's what even with people that didn't eat that morning or something, you're like it your body's going to react differently, and everybody's going to have their own experiences with things, whether it's getting faint or pa like some people pass out, some people puke, some people are fine.
And you can just jump up there and go. The thing is, like,
Yeah.
you're putting these big, huge hooks through your back. They're a 2-inch span. Am I wrong? At least 2 to 3 inch span.
Yeah. And
Is that,
they're about like
explain
a
the
six
feeling of
gauge.
that, which is about the size of a pencil. Am I wrong?
Close to that.
Okay. So explain the pain that is, I haven't ever felt that going through me, but when I ask friends that have gone up or suspended, they act like that is not a problem at all.
So, generally speaking, you're going to go through areas that are a little tougher. So, like your back, your chest, your knees, elbows, stuff like that. That skin is already kind of tougher and used to like being abused from day-to-day life, you know what I mean? So it's a little bit thicker and it doesn't hurt as bad as a lot of things happen, but also the sharpness of these needles make it that much easier because the sharper a needle,
Yeah.
the faster it's going to go through, the smoother it's going to go through, the less it's going to cause damage while doing the actual piercing part.
Now then you get these cats suspended 12 and 25 feet, sometimes even higher into the sky. What are they going through then? Obviously the dopamine and adrenaline seems to be overriding any pain, but there is pain. Am I wrong?
Oh yeah, there's definitely pain. But you're living in the moment. So some people, they'll get up, they'll barely get off the ground and just like, nope, I'm done. I don't like that. It hurts.
I haven't seen that often though, right? That's a rarity usually.
It is actually. I've only seen a couple of people just go up and then be like, all right, good. Nope, I'm good. Let's go back down. But it does happen sometimes, and that's
Okay.
perfectly fine because everybody could experience it differently. But also, when you're going to like conventions and stuff like that, you're seeing performers. You're seeing people that have suspended probably a few times at least. And
Yeah,
so they kind
often.
of know.
But they'll let us know when a new timer's going up too. And
Yeah.
I rarely have seen, and they'll definitely take their time with them. But half the time these guys get up there and they start jumping around and shaking, you know, like, no, let's do it some more. One kid got up there and they had to tell him, you're done. We have to let other people go. Or he was getting in the way of the show or something. Like, I'll hang here all day. That's cool.
Yeah, there's people that are like that, absolutely. And the thing with like conventions and doing suspensions at convention is not only are you working off of your adrenaline, you're not working off of just your dopamine, but you're working off of a crowd that's like hyping you up and like you feel like you could lift a car because just got so much stuff going on around you that you're not thinking about the pain. You're thinking about the people. You're thinking about the fact that you're not on the ground anymore. You're thinking that you're hanging from something. Like there's just
You're
like
back. Does
your pain.
that realization come to you, and then you're like, it passes just as quickly, or?
Yeah, pretty much. And then it's just like your brain is just one thing after another after another after another for a lot of people. But also, like for me, it stops all that background noise. So for like when I go up, like I don't think about the crowd. I don't think about bills. I don't think about
Yeah.
what's going to happen next week or that doctor's appointment or whatever is going on in my life at that point in time. I'm not worried about anything. I'm just up there. My mind is clear. I'm just having fun. And it's just a whole thing. And it's just
Sounds
it
like
that
heroin.
basically.
You make it sound as attractive as heroin. All right, maybe that's why I don't do it, because I'd be scared I'd enjoy it too much, which is the same as heroin.
Yeah, it's one of those things, but it at least with this, it's a little less life threatening.
Oh yeah. Fuck. I'm trying to think of the downsides. I mean, you might have a scar on your back after. I mean, something goes wrong.
Yeah,
But there's
absolutely.
certainly nothing like doing yoga out on the in the middle of Cincinnati or something like that. Doing street yoga, if you were performance art, for heroin addicts. Is there a difference? What are the differences as you see them? Between traveling tattoo artist and traveling piercer.
So, as a traveling piercer, it is much more difficult actually because piercers tend to be very territorial. And then, like,
There's
you've been
some
in the
shows you
convention
go
industry
to and they're
forever.
like, nope, two piercers. That's all we have.
Right. And that's the thing is it's been so condensed down into just like, oh, we're only going to have two piercers. We're only going to have three piercers, but it's only these people and that's it.
Yeah.
And so that's just been a thing forever. And I've noticed that over the last like 5 or 6 years, guest spotting and shadowing has been bigger. So it's not so much in the convention industry, but it's more in like just the day-to-day shop-to-shop relationships. And that's why like I like going to conventions because I like go and mingle with the other shops and I talk with everybody and then I'll like go do guest spots at their shop and like say I've done 10 nasolink piercings, which is as a nose piercing that goes all the way through. But they've never even seen one done. Then I'm like, all right, set one up and I'll come
Wait, it
down and
goes
we'll
all the
do
way
it.
through what?
So you got that like soft part of your tissue where you're most people call it like a high nostril. So just above where your nostrils are, there's a soft spot there that's all cartilage. And you can actually pierce all the way through.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think I've done that on a guy completely by accident. This is one of the reasons I didn't pierce anymore. I thought I was doing his what's that little bit of skin that's underneath the cartilage there, the septum. And after he passed out, and I mean, I heard such loud pops. I realized that I went through his cartilage. Well, also, I realized for the first time that they weren't supposed to go through the cartilage.
Yeah. So there's definitely different portions of the nose.
It sounds like you're
And
telling me I was ahead of my time. So I was just
I
doing
mean, if
these
you just had to go a little
piercing
higher and
things.
go from the outside of the nose.
Oh, and okay, yeah. I follow that. So there's two ends of that stick out on both sides then.
Yes.
Okay. Is it usually done with a straight barbell or a curved?
Straight barbell every time. Curved
Okay.
barbells tend to. So the thing about curved barbell is what's gravity going to do? It's going to pull that down.
Okay.
And then it's going to be looking at the ground. And then it's just a sad piercing.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, big frowny face. As soon as it loses some of its inflammation or whatever. I
Yeah.
follow. In the convention scene, we've kind of gone over about how it's evolved, but I was interested in where you thought it was heading. Do you see piercing coming back or being more prominent? And I've always been curious, do you think there's enough interest in the public yet? Because it seems like there's a breadth of piercing and different piercing stuff's going on, that there could be almost be a piercing convention. I don't know if
So,
there's an interest in the public, though. Unless there were a lot of performance art pieces, you know, that people would be coming together to put on, maybe even a competition of the such.
definitely, I think there's more conventions that are apt to having a number of piercers that can actually compete for prizes and for like trophies and stuff like that. They're out there, but back in the day, that was unheard of because it was piercings. It's not a piercing convention, it's a tattoo convention. You know what I mean? Do I think there's ever going to be just like a solid just piercing convention? Probably not. You have like your APP, which is an Association of Professional Piercers, that is a conference for piercers to learn and work with other piercers. But I don't see that happening for the general public, just because, yeah, piercing's cool, but it's not like, oh yeah, tattoos too. Like, people love tattoos. It
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking more like along the way of hair conventions and things though.
Okay.
Or I shouldn't say I'm not that that's so different again from tattooing, but when you see like these hair competitions, it's all about the competition and getting the marketing and the social networking. It's not as much about making the money that weekend. You like you go to the hair cuttery place and no one's, you know, doing five, you know, shaves or anything like that. They're not doing,
Yeah.
you know, $25 haircuts or nothing. They've brought a group of people that they plan on showing out. I would wonder if there wouldn't be something that could create the community is an artistic community. And
Oh,
so with the
absolutely.
right amount of money, this is my stupid idea. Now I'm dreaming the future for you. The right amount of money sets up a competition that would make people want to compete and that would allow the general public to see some very interesting performance pieces that involve piercing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The thing I've noticed though is like in tattoo conventions, even when we're doing like corset demonstrations or suspension or what have you, they don't tend to f like any tattoo convention really doesn't focus any advertisement towards that part of it. It's all about the tattoos. It's which the no offense to tattoo artists, you guys do great work and amazing stuff, but having a little bit more light shed on the piercing and the art, like the artistry of the demonstrations that we do, I think would go a lot further in the industry and in the convention scene if it was just a little more out there for people to like know that it's even there.
There's one point to be made there that even marketing is its own. I mean, there's a necessity to that marketing that you're talking about, but also there's a benefit to it because when marketing is, you know, what I saw last year, oh, they got this many acts, similar acts, might be different, might be the same. They've got this number of tattoo artists. These are all things we're putting on a flyer, but something that is unique on a flyer is more interest than all the things I've seen before. And so because it is not an advertised thing for the convention circuit, I would wonder if there isn't actually a great benefit or a potential benefit to advertising, just making your own stars. We used to do that when I had a friend come out from California to do a guest spot. And so, you know, and he was on a billboard once. He did an acting thing. And so we told everybody that he was a famous actor. And we was like, hey, famous actor, he does tattoos too. He's coming out to guest spot. And we weren't lying. The level of fame was what was in their head. They were like, guy owns a yacht. In our head is like he was on a billboard. But somewhere in the middle was the truth, you know? Well, I guess actually somewhere on he was on a billboard was the truth. However, the future goes on. And guess what? He's been in a couple of different movies now and he is doing acting roles. So I also like to think that we made that happen.
Right. And that's where like the guest spotting thing is cool, because like you throw it out on your social media for a shop and then be like, hey, this person's coming here, then it makes people go, oh wait, that's an awesome thing. They must be really cool. They must be this, they must be that. And then it like it mark it do the same thing at the convention scene by doing that. And
Because we are sheep, as we pointed out to ourselves earlier. Like you can just tell us. I watched some what is it? Was the Grammys? I think yeah, it's Grammys were like last night, right? I watched some of the Grammys. I don't know any of these. I mean that I'm old now, right? Like all this has passed way by me. And the same thing could happen to any group of people when you start advertising piercers. Nobody knows a piercer, so now you just act like world's greatest piercer, you know,
Right.
he pierced Miley. Who is it? He pierced Faith Hill's vagina lips. That's all you got to say, and they'll be like, "What? Faith Hill has a vagina lips pierced?" And you're just making up a little innocuous lie. And you're just waiting on the cease and desist, you know. But until that comes, fucking, you're making money. People think you're famous. They're like, "You saw what Tim McGraw saw? It's awesome."
Yeah,
Anyway.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Like, I just peers my buddy, and he's in a band called Hotbox out of LA, and they're from Israel originally. And dude's cool as hell. I did an eyebrow piercing for him, and then like a bunch of people were like, "Oh, you're piercing like musicians and stuff." I was like,
Damn
"Yeah."
straight. That I had a friend of mine would always take photos of himself with different stars that he happened to meet, go to concerts and meet and stuff. So he'd take these photos with him, and then he added that into his portfolio. And I felt that my portfolio was better than his. And we were in, I think, Houston so long ago. And people would look through my portfolio, and they just kind of, you know how terrible people are when they're looking through a portfolio. It's like they don't realize that that's like everything you've ever loved in the world. And they're just not even looking as they turn the page, just looking around, you know. They'll look down occasionally and just keep going. But when they would look through his portfolio, they would stop on all these stars. They're like, oh, look at Willie Nelson. Look, he tattoos Willie Nelson. I'll talk to him about a tattoo.
Yeah, because it's whatever catches the eye and breaks the monotony of what's going on around you.
Yeah, is that what we're doing anyways? Are we just escaping the banalities of life? Are we trying to forget that we're all gonna die? Is that why we're getting pierced?
Maybe, but at the end of the day, it if it makes you feel good, then
Really? I love murdering puppies.
that's terrible.
You said it. You just said it makes me feel good. I get to do it. I'm kidding. I love puppies. I would never even. Why am I even joking? And I'm sorry. But you did mention. I want to wind this up. I know that you've got things to do, and I don't want to keep you too long, but you did mention earlier about basically being free as shit with information,
Absolutely.
which I'm sure you also know is like it was frowned upon for several a year.
Oh, absolutely.
But the reason for frowning on it was never necessarily held up with good thought. It was typically you're going to let douchebags into the industry. Well, I've been traveling for a long time and they're here. I don't know that I feel as though they might have always been here. So I don't know if that was one to argue against, you know?
Normally, it was the douchebag doing this, the what that was saying that you can't share information.
Often, very often, some of the very worst ones were that can't do that. And then you end up working with the guy and he's putting rubbing alcohol in your black ink. Like you don't know why, you know, it's stinging everybody and none of the tattoos are holding. But at any rate, what I wanted to get to was what advice you might have for new piercers that are entering the industry.
Research. Always do research and like
Oh man, you're
reaching
gonna send
out to
everybody down a
people.
YouTube wormhole. They're
No,
gonna
no,
come back
no.
storming the fucking Capitol. Jeez. Are we ready for
So,
this? They're a bunch of flat earthers
no,
now. You just did that. Everybody thinks we live in a dish pan.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying like there's all these piercing companies out there, like Stiletto or Invictus or Juniper, Buddha, all these like places that like sponsor piercers, right? So like that's just some companies that I could just throw out there off the top of my head. But like I'm a protein piercer for Darling Body Jewelry, Steriwash Aftercare, and Stiletto Piercings, which all of us want to help other piercers be the best that they could be. So we're always going to be like answering questions to people and be like there if somebody's like, "Hey, how do you get your noses so straight?" And be like, "Oh yeah, do you use bevel theory or do you use this or whatever?" And like throw some
Bevel
information
theory.
their way. Yeah. So bevel
That's the real
theory,
thing.
yes, a whole thing, yes.
And this is then something that you can. So I mean, my next thing is to ask you about upcoming project collaborations and different things that you might be able to plug, but that's where we're at right now. Basically, you're also saying follow these, did you say Steri-Care?
Like
Is it
Steriwash.
Steri-Wash? Okay. And then also, what was the piercing company? You Stiletto, right?
Stiletto, yeah. So Stiletto Piercing Supplies, they do all disposable tools, which is a really cool thing for like moving into the
Yeah.
future. And like disposable tools is kind of like where I'm going with my career, just so it's less reprocessing, less just footprint on things, less chance of cross-contamination. Like I'm not saying that if you repurpose tools, you're going to cross-contaminate. I'm just saying there's less of a chance because a disposable tool has never touched a person.
Well, what about all the yarn heads crying about the environment? These disposable tools biodegradable?
There are a lot of biodegradable tools out there.
Really? I figured there might be. I wouldn't have asked that question if I did. I was like hoping.
Yeah, no, like there's definitely a lot of biodegradable options.
You're like, nope, they all end up in the Indian Ocean though, Kyle. You'll never see them. No, not the truth. But so Stiletto has a lot of information for emerging piercers as well as I believe what you're also saying, right?
Oh, yeah, so like all of these companies like have some kind of information that they could help with. But also the most information for actual piercing is going to come from other piercers, other people in the industry that have been doing this for a long time. And then once you get in an apprenticeship or like try to go to like the Association of Professional Piercers conference, you're going to learn a lot of cool stuff. Or like, I'm not saying like it's the end all be all to be an APP piercer or anything like that. But I am saying is there's a lot of good information there. Go check out the safepiercings.org website. Go check out like all of these different things. There's people like Ryan BPA who does like a Patreon that talks about piercings and stuff like that. There's just a plethora of information out there that is available to any up and coming piercer.
Just and you kind of need to know where to look for it, or you're basically saying these places are where you start yourself. I think you
There's
pretty much.
definitely just kind of anywhere, like even checking out just different locations in your area,
Oh,
going
what
to the
about
different shops.
when a piercer sucks and he's wrong? This has to happen. I get into tattooing. I used to want to know, how to tune up my machines. I asked a hero of mine how he tuned his machines. He was tired of answering that for a bunch of jerks like me that I was just bothering his time and say, "Hey, how do you tune a machine?" And he handed me he said, "Buy this book, actually." And he said, "This book has everything that I use for my machines." And I read the book and it didn't follow physics. And there was parts of it that were like made up. And not that it wasn't a science that this person was able to use, or that other people would be able to use as a guideline, like this is a starting point, this is where you could end up. But it wasn't a scientific process that gave him his opinions throughout it. And you realize that reading the book. It's got to occur that one piercer has an opinion this side, and then another opinion might counter that. Am I wrong? How do you
Oh,
temper those
absolutely.
things?
So, anytime I'm like explaining anything about piercings to anybody, I'm going to tell them this is how I do it. It's not going to be how the guy down the street does it. It's not going to be the way everybody does it, but it works for me and I get solid work done out of it and I get solid like happy clients. And that as long as you're being a cool person to your clients and you're doing good work and that's what works for you, then that's what works for you. Like
I get
there's
that.
no one proper way to do things, and any of the like really solid awesome piercers out there that have just been doing this forever will tell you the same thing. It's like I do it this way, but it might
No.
not work that way for you, but
Well, in a
you might
sense,
find a different
I
way.
find that because that's what the person told me when I asked how he tuned his machines. He says, "I used this method and handed me something." So he wasn't saying this is the only way to do it. However, I guess not even however, but if you hear somebody, my experience, I'm just going to throw my own stupid opinion on this. If somebody says, "This is how you do it," then take a grain of salt with it because he's actually supposed to be saying, "This is how I do it." And
Absolutely.
he may, I think to me, I could be wrong, but when people say it so definitively, like, "This is how it's done," I know that they're most likely wrong and they just can't be convinced. Well,
Yeah,
should I even
none
say
of this is
wrong?
like,
I shouldn't say wrong, should I? Because it works for them, but they're
yeah.
not necessarily, it's not the science that they imagine it to be. It's not the well-tested, here's what works every time for everybody.
Exactly, like just like if you were painting a picture, two people aren't going to paint it the exact same way. It's going to come out different and it's going to look different and it's going to be done in different ways or what have you. And no matter what you're doing, people are going to find what works best for them. And that's what's the best thing. And like a lot of piercers are just gonna be like, hey, check out like the Piercing Bible, which is a solid book on fundamentals. And I always just recommend like learning different ways of doing piercings, whether it's using forceps or using a receiving tube or freehanding or whatever. And then you're gonna be like, oh, well, that works for me to do it freehanded, or that works with forceps,
Yeah.
or that works with a receiving tube. There's just so many, or needle bending, like there's so many different options to figure out your own path.
Are you a fan of freehand piercing?
I am 95% a freehand piercer.
Oh, right on.
So there's the every once in a while thing I'll use like forceps, or I'll use a receiving tube, or whatever, but most of the time I'm freehand.
Scary, no?
So there are always risks with whatever way you're doing, and
I'm going
as
to
a
explain it, I guess,
freehand.
because freehand is may not be understood, and freehand is where there's no forceps holding the skin in place. You just put your finger right next to that sharp ass needle going through somebody else's bloody tissue, and hope for the best.
Yes, so you are significantly more at risk for a needle stick, which nobody wants. I've actually been blessed in my 15 years to never have a needle stick.
Oh, nice. That's my next question. You know, it had to be. It's like, how many times have you left some blood in somebody's mouth? Zero times. Awesome.
Zero times, and I'm like holding on to that for life right
Well,
there.
also, I must imagine then that that takes a large amount of precaution, of procedure, ritual, and understanding.
Yes, and then also of like situational awareness. Like you need to make sure that you're paying attention to what your client's doing, because their movement can affect the entire thing as well. So you need to like always be aware of everything going around you. So
You
being a
start
freehand
out
piercer, a
with
lot
like
goes
put
with
your phone
it.
down.
So generally speaking, I don't have a whole lot of people that like have their phone out unless they're like trying to record or something like that. But most of the time, bring a friend. If you want it recorded, bring a friend.
Right. Yeah, we,
So,
as a tattoo artist, we always have somebody on their phone.
yeah, and well, you guys are normally working with people for hours. I'm working with them for minutes. So it's a
Yeah.
little easier to put the phone down for a couple minutes.
It's so crazy though. For someone who tattooed before the advent of these phones, and to think about how people will justify you, like, whoa, I was doing oops when they move and fuck me up because that's what I got to, you know, like, hey, we're working together here. And they'll be like, oh, what was that? And I'm like, well, you moved. And like, oh, I didn't fuck it up, did it? I was like, I'll try to fix it. And like, huh. And from all that, like, my impetus would be like, you know, I put my phone down. I don't need to answer every text that dings. I'll turn off my notifications. But they often just move along like, okay, well, he's a professional. He must know. And they keep scrolling left and right on their grinder.
Right.
Or up and down. I don't know. The grinder goes which way? Grinder goes both ways, don't
I'm sure.
it? I don't know. I was hoping that was a better joke.
Couldn't tell you, so
So I've asked your advice for new piercers entering is, but now for new piercers seeking a apprenticeship, is there anything that you would recommend to look for and any, maybe more importantly, red flags to steer clear of?
yeah, absolutely. So check out portfolios. If you're seeing some stuff that just kind of looks funky, or like if like you walk in and they're giving off just like, you know, the vibe of somebody when they're like, yeah, you're probably not a good person, definitely steer clear of that, because like in the industry there has always been like a past of just like shitty people doing shitty things to people, especially apprentices. And just
Yeah.
make sure that you're like aligned with a person like on a good level, and you
If
could
you get
kind of
a
get,
gut feeling, trust it.
yeah, like it, can you see yourself being friends with this person outside of a tattoo situation or outside of a piercing situation?
I like that.
If that answer is yes, then get to know that person. Don't just jump into an apprenticeship. Get to know the piercer before you pull that trigger to be an apprentice. Like have a little bit of a relationship with them, you know, and I'm not saying
Yeah.
like not any kind of like actual like
Yeah,
relationship, don't be
physical
boyfriend
relation.
girlfriend,
Yeah.
but like make a friendship, make
Get a
like
get a piercing.
yeah, get a piercing, and like because you'll see how their process is, and you'll see how they're like getting along with you. And if you're like you go in there and like you're getting a piercing and they're just like an asshole to you, then obviously you're not going to want to work around that every day.
Often suggest for younger girls getting into the industry as tattoo artists, I would suggest for as a piercer too, to have, and I could be wrong, but I think that it might be good to have the dad go in there and just like, I think that that's a good meeting that should occur before paperwork is signed. It's just like, have the guy that has promised to protect you and has a gun arsenal somewhere at home simply because he got a daughter, have him show up. Let
Right, or
the
just somebody that you feel like is a really solid judge of people, like people in general, would always be a good option as well. Just because, I mean, some people don't have dads, you know,
Right.
some people don't have that protector, but most people have somebody that like they can rely on when they're like, hey, is this person kind of shitty? Like,
Yeah. What kind of vibe did you get? So do a vibe check.
yeah, definitely, always do a vibe check. Always make sure that like you're going to mesh well. And then if at any point during an apprenticeship, you're just like, man, this is not what I was expecting. This is not right. Like there's some fuck shit going on. You know what
Yeah.
I mean?
Then get out or seek
Yeah.
help
Just be like,
through
hey,
other.
look, like I don't think this apprenticeship's working out. I'm gonna just do my thing. Like just like any other job, like at the end of the day, it's still a job. Like, are you going to sit and get harassed at work? No, you're going to quit and say, no, I'm going to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to HR, see what
Right.
they have to say about the way you're treating me.
Granted, like, there's always going to be like a lot of joking and a lot of stuff going on in tattoo shops that people are always like messing with each other and playing pranks or whatever. That's just how tattoos work and like shops work. And that's just because like artistic brain people like to mess with their friends.
But it shouldn't be crossing the line, is I guess what you're saying. And you should, and that line you define as the
Yes,
person.
you define your
Borderline.
boundaries.
Right on. Hey, where can people, and on HR, when I start talking about HR, I know I've stayed too long, said too much. So help me direct my listeners to your social media, if you would, before I let you go.
Yeah, I'm Piercings by Arrow. On Instagram, it's Piercings by Arrow, but the O is a zero. And then on Facebook, it's just Piercings by Arrow.
Well, with that, thank you very much. I appreciate it, Arrow. And I
Yeah,
look forward to
absolutely,
seeing
man.
you on the road, brother.
Definitely. I'll catch you later, man.